Our Old Testament reading for this last Sunday of the church year comes from Malachi chapter 3. Your words have been hard against me, says the Lord, but you say, how have we spoken against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. What is the profit of our keeping his charge, or of walking as in mourning before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them. And a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my treasured possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson comes to us from Colossians chapter 1. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord. Gospel comes to us from Luke chapter 23. There followed Jesus a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry? Two others, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he's the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you're the king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the king of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanging railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' And the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due rewards of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue to number 534.
Mm-hmm.
Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the King of the Jews, I-N-R-I, Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, that little scrap that you see on the top of a crucifix. Of course, Pilate wrote it in three languages, John tells us, Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. That's why we have Good Friday today. It's the last Sunday of the church year, often called Christ the King Sunday. And in this world, that is the throne. Luke, at the beginning of his gospel, tells us that he used sources and consulted with witnesses for the events of Jesus' life. And that must be the case here. Matthew, tradition tells us, was the first gospel written. And in his story, there's no distinction between those criminals. Both join in the mockery. But Luke has an eyewitness closer who remembers a difference. Not that the crucifixion needs more pathos, but there's a strong case to be made that Luke's witness is Mary. She's the one who pondered these things in her heart in regards to the infancy and childhood stories, and apparently then told them to Luke. John places Mary at the foot of the cross. Luke never names her, but as he often does, Luke remembers what the women were doing. Here, they were mourning and lamenting, following the steps to the skull. And Mary was probably amongst them, there to hear the simple, memorable warning, "Weep not for me, for yourselves and your children weep." Of course, Mary would have already been doing that. And what Luke's eyewitness remembers is the people stood by watching, while a threefold group mocks. First, the rulers. In this case, the chief priests of the religious establishment scoffed at his chosenness. If he's the Christ of God, let him save himself. The voice from heaven at his baptism said, "This is my beloved son." But the voice of these religious leaders answers, "It can't be. Yes, he saved others, but he can't save himself. This is no Messiah prophet. We see no chosen one." The people watched. Then, the soldiers, the executors of the law, the representatives of that empire join in the scoffing. They've stripped him and they've cast lots for his clothing, and now they join in the fun. If you're a king, save yourself. The voice of the world joins in. We know kings, and this is not a king. We see no king here. And the people watched. Lastly, one of the criminals decides to join in. The voice of that condemned looks at Jesus and decides that it's all a farce. Save yourselves and us. With his last breaths, he chooses solidarity with the world that is killing him. He sees no Savior. The people watched. All of the world looking at that cross saw a joke. the King of the Jews. The one voice found to say something else, to witness, was this criminal. Not even a respectable one claiming that he was innocent or railroaded or a political execution. No, this one admits it. We're getting the just rewards for our deeds. This criminal didn't see the joke. This criminal saw the king. He saw the blasphemy. And he does what you would do with the king. Not what a great noble would do, or not what even a respectable subject would, but a peasant. He doesn't demand anything or request anything specific. He simply asks for the gaze, the grace of the king on his plight. If the king just knew and saw, his grace would do something. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the people watched. Unlike the kings of this world who demand their titles and their respect and then do nothing, or say one thing and then join in the mockery behind doors with their own kind, this king hears him and tells him, "Amen. Truly, I say to you, today, you will be with me in paradise." The world has its solidarity of blood and mockery and the skull and death. The world runs for those who are in on the joke. But Christ the King finds solidarity with the poor in spirit, the repentant criminal. Those that know they are naked before the king. Those that long for truth, not mockery. Those that desire a better kingdom. For them, the king acts with grace. The king is not ashamed to be with them. And the people stood by watching. Luther would talk about the hidden God and the revealed God. And his distinction would lead to the necessity of faith. The acts of God in this world are not clear-cut, directly known. There's a cottage industry that attempts to explain the plagues of Egypt by material means. Red algae blooms for the blood, specific winds that would blow in the locusts. As our Bible study has seen, at the time, Pharaoh's magi replicated and gave alternate explanations, until even they had to say that these were the finger of God. We tend to think that if we would see a miracle, like the miracles that Jesus did, like a man coming out of the tomb, like Lazarus, it would all be so easy. But the Pharisees saw them and said he did them by Beelzebub. And there are always our modern miracles, from weeping statues of Mary to sudden healing, that we always find some explanation for. Or if we don't have an explanation that sits well, we just memory hole the event. You'd be surprised at how much it didn't happen. We can even talk about the scriptures and the sacraments. This is the word of God. The inspired work that we read, but it's produced by men. This is the true body and blood of Christ in, with, and under the bread and wine. But we want to often explain away the miracle. The direct acts of God are like that sign, I-N-R-I. This is the King of the Jews. The threefold mocking isn't an unreasonable thing from human standards. And that's what the world, the unified world, wants you to believe. Turn away from this misguided Galilean peasant who died an awful death. It's only by faith that we hear that other criminal. This one has done nothing wrong. It's only by faith that we see the King. It's only by faith that we see his unjust wounds taking the place of our just ones. It's only by faith that we receive his grace. You will be with me in paradise. The people stood by watching. What are your conclusions? Do you see the throne of the King? Is it only at the foot of the cross that we bring our petitions? Has God revealed himself here? Emmanuel, a king with us, a king in place of us, who fought our battle and won it against sin and death and the power of the devil. Forsaken of God, and yet still his son, in whom he is well pleased. Hidden and revealed. Which do you see? Hidden and revealed. Under the cross. That's the nature of this world. Today we walk by faith. But the day is coming when the time of faith will be complete. When the head that was crowned with thorns will be seen with that royal diadem. When the wounds that we see today are glorified in our sight. A day when we are with him in the paradise of God. Paul would write, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Today, your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also will appear with him in glory. We too, the body of Christ, his church, are hidden. Hidden with Christ. Hidden with Christ in anticipation of that final revelation of the saints. Today, we see it by faith. On that day, we'll see it by sight. Amen.